All righty, let's open to Romans 5 and Galatians 5 tonight. Romans 5 and Galatians 5. Romans 5 first. And before we start tonight, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for a good day today so far, and appreciate a good morning this morning. A couple of nursing homes went off this afternoon, Father. I pray you'll bless the word of God preached there and those that preached it. Father, we ask that you'll bless tonight once again as we come back to hear from you, and we trust, Lord, that you will speak to folks' hearts as you see fit. I pray you'd help the right balance to be stricken here in the pulpit. I pray that you might bless the word spoken, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans 5, first of all. Romans 5. If you go down to verse 20, Romans 5:20, you read, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." It gives the Lord's unlikely motive for giving the law, and that was that the offense, that is, that the sin might abound. And at the same time, after Calvary, that is so that now grace may abound, right? "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, in that, just one more verse in Romans 5. Look in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace." So this grace by which sin abounded, in which the grace now abounds in us. But you'll notice that we have access by faith from this into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So you're supposed to stand in that grace. You're never supposed to be talked back into going back under law, back under ritual ordinances, right? Now, with that stated, go to Galatians chapter 5. You find something quite similar as well, because in 5:1 you read, "Stand fast thou therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." So we're supposed to stand in the grace of God, and we stand in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So again, don't go back. Don't think you're doing anybody a favor by going back to the law. And so that's a blessing, because I don't want to go back to the law anyway. But we're not to be entangled again. Now, in grace and liberty, we have what no Old Testament priest or Levite ever had. We have salvation by grace through faith. We have liberty. We have freedom, right? And it is therefore understandable, I think, that Christians should be captivated by the idea that they've been given liberty and freedom, that they're no longer under bondage any longer. We've been set free, so praise the Lord for that. Who would want to flirt with going back, right? Now, yet there's more than one slight warning about this. If you'll look down in Galatians 5:13, it does say this, to balance the scales a little bit. "For brethren, you've been called into liberty." So again, you have liberty, only "use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So that's the balance that acknowledges there's a danger of the rubber band effect, where you were under bondage of law and now you're out and you have liberty, and you just take liberty too far. And you know how that works with smoking and drinking and carousing, and you just get too loose, right? Now, hopefully that hasn't happened for anybody here, but there's a way that you can take liberty and grace too far. So For 2,000 years now, Christians have been blessed and privileged with God's grace and the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but all things edify not. Right? So you never have to go back under law, but there is this inherent and very real danger. In the Old Testament, carelessness could get you killed. Nadab and Abihu. They decided they would build strange fire unto the Lord, and the idea you learn a little bit later, they just got hasty, they just got ahead of the Lord. They're supposed to build the fire for the altar of incense, supposed to take the fire from off the brazen altar outside where the sacrifice was burned. Instead, they built their own, and brethren, God killed them for it. Now, here they are. They're living under law. They've been given these strict laws, and they're living under the very shadow of the pillar of fire and cloud in which the Lord dwelt and looked at them and led them, and yet they still, in the midst, right on the very threshold of all that happening, they still messed up and went too far. You read about Uzzah reaching up and touching the ark to steady it when the oxen stumbled and the Lord killed them on the spot. If some numbskull priest just kind of sleepwalked into the Holy of Holies, he's dead meat. Now, a point in saying those things is not to draw you back under that, but is simply to say that if they lived in that kind of danger, and there are examples of men that were killed for stepping too close, for getting a little bit careless, just a little too casual with how they were supposed to do things, here we are in a day in which we've exalted liberty and grace. Don't you think it's kind of possible that we might take that liberty and grace too far? Now, I say that the title of the message tonight is Too Casual. And that is too dismissive, too relaxed. Got to be careful about not being sloppy, right? Little dismissive. And I want to just talk about the fact that I am not advocating formalism. I don't want to go there. I don't want to ever go back. Nobody's talking here about ritualism. Nobody wants to write a bunch of rules on the wall by which we will all ascribe. We're not talking about that. But I am suggesting that we should be warned about being too casual, because some of these things are still holy things. And I don't know how often the Lord kills somebody for trespassing. I don't know that He does. But we still, the truth is, we ought not be too casual. You still have a holy Bible. The God that indwells your mortal flesh is still holy. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. You traffic in holy things every day. And so the point simply is, the title is Too Casual. And I just want to warn against this, the movement which leads folks to be so sloppy about things, so nonchalant about their worship and their Christianity, that it just kind of gets apathetic. And we're not supposed to be apathetic about the Lord. So let me talk to you for a little while about that. You do live in a day where you can go to many churches and grace abounds there. They talk a lot about it. And liberty abounds there. They talk a lot about it. And it's so filled with liberty and it's so loose that it hardly resembles Christianity anymore. There's all kinds of things going on, and folks have all kinds of habits that are never mentioned. A lot of the Bible is not ever preached. And I just want to make sure, this is kind of like that sermon I preached some months ago about, hey, let's keep the sacrifice in Christianity. Where would Christianity be if there were no sacrifice? And so it's worthwhile to just remember that Christianity is supposed to cost something. And so as well, we ought to guard against being too casual. trying to stop the slide here, not of somebody in this church so much as what we see going on around us. So let me first of all talk about sometimes men get too casual in matters of salvation. I have no intent to complicate getting saved at all. Paul warns us about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When somebody starts pushing about how exactly do you get saved, my answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look, you need to realize you're a sinner. You need to realize that without the new birth, you're going to hell, that God's going to judge you, and that Christ paid the price for your sins. And so you trust Christ as your Savior, and you're saved. And I'm not interested in complicating that at all, but you have seen, you have read probably, and some of you have gone to churches where you know that they get pretty casual, over casual in believing. And for instance, the devils believe and tremble, and believing doesn't help them any. And so that's proof that you can be over casual. People today are very casual about what is believed, about opening the door too wide. You have Mormons that believe that the Lord was Satan's brother, but if you keep on the right kind of underwear, you'll be good. That door is way too broad, brother. It's not just wrong. It's that folks have allowed that to stand, and now Mormons are largely considered Christians. And it's not true. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a created God. Well, that's not true. And so if you get to calling a Jehovah's Witness a Christian, you have opened the door too wide. You are too casual. Too casual. Too casual about salvation. Catholics, Lutherans. You know what all gets started for them? When the baby gets sprinkled. I mean, it doesn't do a lot, but it gets them on the right road. I mean, it's not enough that they can't believe for themselves. They get their godfather or their godmother to believe for them, and God counts that. That's way too loose. That's way too casual. You've gotten way too casual in accepting things that some dork says that has no basis in truth whatsoever. You understand? Can be really casual these days in dealing with sin. Because nobody likes to have their sins broadcast to the world. Nobody likes to be challenged in public for what you did Friday night. And yet, if you get over casual with it, pretty soon you're just accepting anything and everything. We're not supposed to be casual about sin. We're not supposed to be casual about when salvation is preached. Why do you need to be saved? You need to be saved because you are a sinner and a sorry one at that. You need to be saved because you're going to go to hell. If there's no hell, there's nothing to be saved from. And Billy Graham was very much responsible for starting a slide where it was not really hell, it was separation from God. Well, it is separation from God, but it's also burning fire. Our God's a consuming fire. God is ever present in hell as well as heaven. In heaven, we will be equipped to dwell with God. In hell, the wrath of God burns against the unregenerate. And to quench the fires of hell, to refrigerate hell, means you're probably getting ready to move in. The point, ladies and gentlemen, is that folks get too casual about things. They get casual about judgment. And they get casual because it's offensive to the sensibilities of folks that you want to keep around. And I just want to say that if you just guard, nobody's trying to take us back to robes and vestments and, you know, all of the ritualistic regalia. Just make sure that you don't get too casual and telling somebody how to get saved. Oh, yeah, that's good enough. Now, you were raised Buddha. Well, you know, Buddha had light too. You're way too casual, you understand? We are real scrupulous with details of life insurance and health insurance. The details of your will, the money you're laying up for your kids' college education, and yet your soul is the most inexpressibly valuable thing you have. And folks are awful careless about the salvation of the soul. So I say, first of all, I'm concerned because I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Salvation's by faith alone. Okay. How much of the faith can come under attack and be undermined before it's no longer effectual? Right? Nobody here was a theological whiz kid when you got saved, probably. I wasn't. I got saved as a farm boy. I just knew I was going to hell and that Jesus died to save me, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. That's how I got saved. I don't think I could have taken you to verses on the Trinity. I doubt I could have taken you to, I couldn't have taken you to verses on eternal security. I couldn't have taken you to a lot of places because I didn't know where Noah was in the Bible. I just knew I was a sinner, and that guy told me that from the Bible that Christ died for my sins. So I was happy to take it. I was not a theological genius. And you don't have to be a theological genius. But you know, when as a habit, folks start tearing down the deity of Christ and start questioning whether the blood that Christ shed was actually God's blood. When you start undermining those things and pretty soon you're chilling off hell a little bit, there's an ice cube down there that survives once in a while. And, you know, by the time you start accepting, you know, baptism as some sort of entry point into the Christian life or some sort of, you know, Lutheran confirmation being acceptable, you know, to kind of help you get started and that kind of stuff, you're playing with fire. And, you know, how much of that, and nobody knows, how much of that can be taken before what you believe as a Christian is no longer effectual? You need truth. It's always been about truth. And if you've undermined sin, judgment, eternity, hell, the sweetness of heaven, what are you getting saved from and what are you getting saved to? And how much can you undermine it before it's no longer effectual? So can I just encourage us not to be too casual in matters of salvation? Can I add to it this? If you'll go to Leviticus 10, I've already mentioned these guys already, but Leviticus 10 real quick. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, that's an incense censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. There came out fire from the Lord, and he devoured them, and they died before the Lord there. All right. Nadab and Abihu became too casual in matters of sanctified things. They didn't even fully realize it because the Lord hadn't revealed where they were supposed to get the fire for their censers. We didn't know till a couple of chapters later that the fire was supposed to come from the altar outside, the brazen altar. But they got ahead of the Lord real bad. Got too casual about just thinking they had the latitude, the liberty to do what they wanted. And it cost them their lives. So I want to say, in matters of sanctified things, let's not get too casual. These guys lived in the shadow, like I said, of the pillar of fire and cloud out there in the wilderness. And that pillar was a cloud by day and fire by night. And yet with it that close, they still felt the latitude to do what they did, and it wound up killing them. Now, I say that to say they grew too casual. Now, if they grew too casual, how much of a danger is it for you? Right? I mean, it's worth thinking about. They were probably just zealous. They were probably excited. They were probably very well-meaning and sincere. And yet it still cost them. You know, when I think about this casualness, this sloppiness doctrinally with regard to sanctified things, I think about Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Well, it turns out that the Lord thought a lot more of Esau's birthright than Esau himself. Because what Esau then reaped, I mean, he sold his birthright for a bowl of, effectively, a bowl of beans, a bowl of chili, a bowl of soup. Not two bowls, just one. He said, I am starving to death. I'll let you have anything. Well, sell me your birthright, says Jakey Poo. He says, okay, sounds good. Give me them beans. And it didn't turn out well at all. And I want to say that the Lord didn't kill Esau for that, but he reaped it in sorrow and regret. Because the Bible says that he cried, that he begged God to turn it around, to turn the decision around. And instead, the Lord said, no. Too casual in things that are holy. Too casual in things that are sanctified. Well, the Lord thought more of Esau's birthright than Esau did. Well, you need to know what the Lord values, right? Because that turned out to be a sanctified thing. Here's David. And David places the ark of God when he goes to recover it on a cart, a new cart, and lets the oxen pull it. And when the oxen pulled it across the threshing floor, the Bible says that the oxen stumbled. And when the oxen stumbled, Uzzah reaches out and puts his hand on the ark to steady the ark. He wasn't trying to do wrong, but God killed him. Because they got too casual. David was too casual. It was not supposed to be on a cart. It was supposed to be carried by Levites. Y'all know that lesson. But he got too casual. He thought this will be fine. We're just trying to get it from one spot to the other. Who cares how we get it there? God cares how you get it there. Uzzah got careless. Uzzah should have known better, but instead, he was put in a position where, well, I either let the thing dump out on the ground or I reach up and steady it. And in reaching up and steadying it, the Lord killed him. I'm not trying to put anybody here in fear of their life so much as I'm trying to help folks see that we ought not get too casual with things. King Uzziah was a good king and a good man. He reigned for 52 years. He's known as Azariah as well, and he was a good king. But he decided in his zeal and his love for the Lord that he wanted to go in and burn incense to the Lord himself in the temple. And so he goes in and burns incense as well. As he's there, the priests say, you shouldn't be doing this, and he got mad. And as he got mad, the leprosy rose up on his forehead, and he fled the temple, had to go home a leper. His son from that day ruled the kingdom as his vice regent because he couldn't come out because he was a leper. And all I'm simply saying there is, he got too casual with things. Solomon got too casual with his wives. Ahaz goes up and fights a battle with the Syrians and sees an altar that looks really good. And he sends the pattern back, and they replace the Lord's holy altar with an altar made by a craftsman that Ahaz copied from the Syrians. Now that was the altar that the Lord ordained. So he's the guy with the wrong altar. That's way too casual. You just don't get to switch stuff out. You shouldn't be switching out a King James Bible with an NIV. And if you think that's acceptable, you're way too casual. Way too casual. Jeroboam was too casual. He says, well, I don't want everybody going down to Jerusalem to worship once a year. So I'll build a couple calves and make it convenient up here for folks to stay here and worship. In fact, I think it's a little bit closed-minded to just have Levites be priests. I think that I'll just make my own priesthood. Jeroboam was way too casual. He now stands, and some of these other guys are not as bad as him, but he now stands as the epitome of a wicked king. He was never forgiven for what he did. God never forgot what he did. He was always talking about what Jeroboam did with the two calves. And he was way too casual. Now, folks, we've been delivered some holy things, some sanctified things. The book you hold in your lap tonight, I believe that you know that's sanctified. Well, people are way too casual with it, right? Now, you can be casual and not believing it. You can be casual and switching it out for another one. You can be casual in not reading it, not partaking of it. You can be casual in letting somebody get away with talking ugly about it without you even protesting. But don't get too casual with holy things. They're supposed to be sanctified in our hearts and minds. You know, when we think about sanctified things, we think about worship and stuff. This will come up later. But music is a classic example. I mean, what was that? What were we just saying, It Is Well With My Soul, right? Well, I don't want to change that song. I don't want to change the music of that song because it means something to me that it doesn't mean to the world. If you turn that song over to the world will corrupt it. And then if I accept that corruption, I have become way too casual. Let me just bring something else to mind. Not only am I admonishing against becoming too casual in salvation, becoming too casual in sanctified things. Let me look here at something else that I've got. But also in matters of personal righteousness and holiness. Now, today, the way we're told to worship, what we're doing tonight is not acceptable. You can't build a church like this. Not with Bible preaching and Bible teaching. You need some fog lights and some laser lights and a little fog. The drum set belongs right back there. And I'd be surrounded by amplifiers. And that's how you're supposed to build a church. And by the way, we blacken the ceiling, bring in theater seats, and build it a lot bigger so a lot more folks can come in. Y'all bring in your Bic lighters, and we have a concert for the first 45 minutes, and everybody goes, That's how this is supposed to go. But what we're doing here tonight is not the right way, according to them. I want to say that people have gotten way too casual in matters of personal righteousness and holiness. Come as you are. Stay like you are. Jesus is good with that, they say. And that's not true. The Lord wants you to change. Now, I don't regulate the change. I don't grade the change. But the Lord wants you to change. And we become real casual about matters of personal righteousness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, an adulterer, Paul admonishes the Corinthians to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He said, you haven't even mourned. You're not even grieved by the fact this guy's hanging out with his father's wife. He said, that's something that's not so much as named among the Gentiles. And you're not even grieved by it. You've gotten too casual. And I don't know, I don't believe that you have. But Ananias and Sapphira lied in their hearts about the land they sold and how much money they gave. And they lied to the Holy Ghost is what the The Bible says, and the Lord killed him on the spot. Now, I'm not looking forward to anybody dying on the spot. I'm not looking for that. I am simply pointing out the fact that in the age of grace and liberty and eternal security, and all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient, that it's really easy to get lax. I mean, you don't have much of a sense of the Lord with a hammer hanging over your head, and I wouldn't try to do that. But you ought not also be exploitative and exploit the Lord's mercy and goodness and kindness and think that, well, the Lord doesn't care whether I live a holy life or not, because He certainly does. The idea is that you've become perhaps too casual about it. In Exodus 2, Moses loses his temper, kills an Egyptian, and thinks that he can still lead Israel out, but that cost him 40 years of his life. He got too casual with, you know, where losing his temper was acceptable. He went out into the wilderness, did lead the children of Israel out after 40 years later, and lost his temper a couple times. One of those times, it made him so stinking mad because he had stricken the rock once and the people got watered and all was well and they just wouldn't believe God. And he was just so upset that he, should we fetch water from this rock, you rebels? Wham! And the Lord had said, speak to the rock. Right? He got too casual. You know that, you know, how you are, gentlemen. You have a real bad day. And maybe you don't fling an axe across the garage, but you slam the door too hard. You just get a little careless with your temper and just, you know, exercise it a little bit. You may not turn the air blue, but, you know, just going a little too far. Well, we're supposed to be disciplined, right? The point is, I've got to be careful about being too casual in matters of personal righteousness and holiness. In 2 Kings 23, the great king Josiah went out to battle unadvisedly against the Egyptian king and died. Nobody's interested in threatening Christians, but today it's not unusual at all to find Christians living together, shacking up. It's fairly common. And I'll do all I can to help them get on good ground and rectify that situation. But it still ought not happen. They murmur, rebel, gossip, openly dismiss the Lord's admonition, disobey God. Right? Lord instructs them how to run the home, and somebody says, I ain't doing that. I know some ladies that say, I ain't doing that. I ain't going to serve him. Well, ain't going to be a subject to him. I know some guys that won't lead. I refuse to do that. Well, you're a little casual. I mean, you're enjoying your salvation. You have eternal security. We ought not be so casual. Christians these days drink and smoke and choose entertainment, you know, weird stuff. Back I don't even know if Swindoll is still alive, but one of the great leaders of mainstream Christianity some years ago was a guy named Chuck Swindoll, wrote a bunch of books. And back during the big Promise Keepers movement, this big gathering of, big ecumenical gathering, all these guys that are probably half of them wicked as hell. Swindoll is the main speaker. And they're waiting for him to arrive in the stadium. It has to be a stadium, of course. And his entry is introduced by Born to be Wild, played at 7,000 decibels. And he rides in this tricked out Harley. Born to be wild. And that's supposed to be a Christian example of manhood. What that is way too casual. What that is slovenly, rebellious nonsense. I'd like to say that we can be, if we're not careful, too casual in matters of worship. You know, folks have always wrestled about the right kind of worship, and sometimes folks build it around the sacramental ritualistic styles, and it's dead as a doornail, but they think that's right, the dead orthodox stuff, you know. Others, you know, will bring in the rock bands and, like I said, the fog machines and the laser lights and stuff and make a concert atmosphere out of it. Other guys think that they just worship just fine on a fishing boat. That, in fact, the fishing boat is the modern tabernacle. Well, that's all right. But the problem is, you know, the Baal's prophets in 1 Kings 18, they had an, you know, somebody said one time, they said, well, we're going to move over to another church over a couple of communities, and we found a church that has a new way of worshiping. I knew immediately what she was saying. It was a she. It means no Bible, bad music, bad doctrine. Three things, six words. No Bible, bad music, bad doctrine. That's what it always means. The prophets of Baal, for 850 of them, dance around and flail themselves and scourge themselves, make a major show out of their bleeding all over the place and everything else, and nothing happens. I mean, it was a great show of worship. It was innovative worship. But there was one thing missing. What they had agreed was the God that answers by fire, He's God. And there was no fire that fell for them. The fire fell for Elijah. And so, you know, one thing that you need to ask yourself in coming to worship is there any power there? Is anybody's life being affected? Am I getting my tree shaken when I come and sing here, when I come and get preached at here? Or do I leave the very same way I came? And you know, if you leave the same way you came, then maybe you're just a little casual. Maybe the standard is set a little low for you, right? And that's my point. Modern worship can be emotionally moving and theatrically thrilling. It can excite the senses and the passions. And you can come as you are. I mean, I don't know. I mean, are pajamas and bunny slippers and Cocoa Puffs the way you're supposed to? Because these days, folks come any way, you know. And I'm not advocating really a dress standard or anything like that, but what's wrong with giving the Lord your best? What's wrong with getting your backside out of the bed and getting a shower and spending a little time, you know, to put on a decent shirt and come halfway ready to worship instead of, you know, coming slogging in and like you're going to the beach? I'm not advocating for a dress code. I'm just saying, do you think that you might be a little casual if, you know, come in and flop down and spill your latte frappe halfway down your shirt because you're still half asleep? How about getting up and waking up and spending some time in prayer and coming to church like that? Just a little too casual, maybe. Did you know, I mean, we can... I'm not interested in setting up some ritual thing here, but you are aware the Bible says, in vain they do worship me. That it's possible to come here and say you worshiped and it be all in vain. And the Lord says, I ain't hearing that. It's possible. Your worship can be in falsehood. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Your worship can be fleshly. You're supposed to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth and not just in flesh. Instead, I know the excitement of, I've been to concerts before, not since I was saved or anything, not since I was preaching or anything like that, but I've been to the concerts, I know what they're like, I've been in the atmosphere, I know what it's like, and I know it's exciting. And so, boy, to be able to come twice a week here and have that same, you know, yes! No. It's too casual. Too casual, right? Amen. I have one last thing to say here. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I feel like I've killed the spirit here. It's just that, and I don't think that folks have really gone south here on it, but in other places they do. It's the way modern church, that's the way we do modern church. That's the way we do church. Well, by the grace of God, we don't do church. Right? Just a little too casual. The bar is just lowered a little too far. You're just, you know, you come in with a little too much flippancy. Right? It's kind of sloppy, kind of slovenly. Your doctrine's a mess. The way you worship's a mess. And I don't know if the Lord receives that or not. I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 29. We are talking here about the Lord's Supper, of course. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, coming in too careless. Not even trying to grasp what the communion even is. We just come here and do it every Sunday. And the priest says the magic words, and it's good. But there's no Bible. And it's too casual. It's undiscerning. We're undiscerning today in most churches. The reason many of you are here is because they're way too casual with doctrine. Way too casual. It doesn't mean that. You went to the Greek for 15 minutes to explain why it couldn't be that, and then you didn't explain what it was. You spent all that sweat and time digging a hole, and it's just a deep hole. You didn't give me any light at all. You become too casual with doctrine. You know, Hymenaeus taught that the resurrection was past, and he was turned over to Satan for teaching that. Taught a misrepresentation of the resurrection. And I don't know if Hymenaeus was casual or not, but men today are. The Bible says that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Even here, you should be aware that the devil can speak. So if it's not according to this word, it's because there's no light in whoever's saying something different. Just don't be overly casual about it. Most Christians don't know when false doctrine is taught because they've never been taught sound doctrine. It's way too casual, way too casual. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned and avoid them. Okay, they're just too casual. So I've gone through a few things here and you can take the rest of it. But I just thought it'd be a good time, you know, to just say, let's make sure we batten down the hatches and keep everything square and folded, right? My underwear drawer is a mess. It's just, everything's just thrown in there. It's just thrown in. Not folded. Not ironed. She don't iron it. It's just all just wadded up and thrown in there. But my doctrine's not. Okay? I can be a slob in some ways. And I'm not perfect, but my doctrine is not slop. Because it's important to the Lord. And because it's important to the Lord, I'm doing it before Him, and it's important to me. So, I mean, it's true, we've said it a dozen times, probably the last 3 months, but I fully realize that every one of us here don't agree with everything 100% about everything. I'm not too concerned about that 1% or 2%, but you ought not be casual about what you believe. Amen? Amen. So let's not be casual about salvation, about sanctified things, about personal righteousness, about matters of worship, or matters of doctrine. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we come to you tonight and just